The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon. Our guest today is Mary Bassett. Mary is a licensed professional hypnosis regressionist, having studied the quantum healing method and taken lessons from the legendary alien abduction investigator, Yvonne Smith. She has performed nearly 100 regressions to date. Her passions with her work is to guide others into a deeper understanding and knowledge of their alien contact experiences so that they may move forward in life in peace with the answers that they need. Mary recently presented at a local Michigan MUFON meeting where she regressed a subject before a full house of Michigan MUFON members and guests. Typically, our ET visitors shroud their activities in secrecy. People like Mary Bassett draws back the curtain to help shed some light on those activities and give the contactee a sense of meaning and, in some instances, closure to their experiences. So I'm happy to have her with us on the show today. Welcome, Mary.
Hi. Hi, everyone. How are you?
They're answering. They're just fine.
Yeah.
Can you hear them?
I can. Right in my head.
What a show I've got, huh? Anyway, so how long have you been practicing hypnosis, Mary?
Well, I've been practicing for a little over a year, contemplating doing it for about 2 years, I think. I started to kind of get the idea when I started to read Dolores Cannon's books. And The Convoluted Universe was a good series of books. But when I started to read The Custodians, that's what really blew my mind, because the books are based on the regression work she does. And so when she started working with the ET experiencers and the things that she was pulling out through those experiences, kind of just blew my mind. Mm. And then I had people start to approach me asking if I did hypnosis work and regression work. So that started really getting me into the idea of checking it out. So when I finally broke down and I took the class, the techniques that you learn there are just so amazing. When I got my certificate, Bill, the head of MUFON, he contacted me and asked me if I would be willing to work with experiencers. And I said, yeah, that's exactly why I started the whole process. And then did that for a couple of months and then studied with Yvonne, learned even more that was specific towards the ET experience. And so kind of hit the ground running with that. And it just picked up from there. You know, you would be surprised, you know, you're probably not surprised about how many people have had some kind of experience, whether it's a dream state, it's contact being taken. Almost everybody in some shape or form has had some kind of experience. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are either experiencers, contactees, whatever they want to call themselves, or they know someone who has, or they're very interested in the subjects. And some of them even wonder, have I been contacted? Have I been abducted in the past? Because like my sister, she She thought all of these ever since she was a child, these things happened to her, and she was taken up through the ceiling or through the walls and into a waiting craft. And she thought everybody in the world had this experience, and she didn't realize what was going on. So yeah, I'm sure that some people have had these experiences and have read about them, or heard about them, wondered about them, and now that the UFO phenomenon, the UAP phenomenon, I should call it, I'm used to calling it UFO, but an abduction phenomenon has become apparent to the public. I think they want to know a lot more about it. So we have people like yourself who know a little bit about it to come on the show and explain things to them. So how long have you been working with alien experiences?
A little over a year. I started last year in December of 2021.
Okay. And you have almost 100?
I do. Once I started working with MUFON, it really started to pick up.
Uh-huh. Once MUFON members knew about you, they started contacting you, eh?
Yes. Yeah. So I think people want answers. And, you know, like you said, it gives them closure. Because there's a lot of fear base around being taken and the experiences. And I think, you know, once you get regressed, you realize that maybe, just maybe, it wasn't something to be so afraid of. And the more people open up, especially in the year 2023, there's so much more opening up about experiences and the UFO contact that it really makes people more curious to explore what actually happened with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the government has come out with... Yeah, these things are, these UFOs or UAPs are real. We don't know where they're from. They're not ours. They're either Chinese or Russian or quote unquote other, whatever other means. I think we know what other means. But they haven't really delved into the abduction phenomena. Why do you think that is?
Well, I really think, you know, personally for myself, there's a cover-up. If we don't know, then they can hold us in fear, and then they can control what comes out and what doesn't come out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why disclosure is so important, to find our own truth versus relying on what's going to be allowed for us to know and not know.
So what got you on this path in the first place?
Well, I've always kind of been on the spiritual path. I'm a psychic medium and a channeler. So I've always been into the spiritual side of things, with the realization that there's something more out there than just what meets the eye and what we've been conditioned to believe and raised to believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, through a lot of meditation, you know, starting like 6 or 7 years ago, I started having glimpses and pieces of the puzzle and, you know, different kind of visions. And so probably right around 2019, I had my own vision. And it's kind of a funny story. In the vision, I'm on a craft, and it's all white, and I can see black windows, and in a chair is sitting an ET, and she was female, and I believe she was gray. And I was going to pull back out of the vision, but it bothered me because she was holding a stick. And it's the funniest thing, because what bothered me was she was holding this stick that was broken. And I asked her, I said, what are you doing with that stick? And she's, I'm taking this one. And I said, well, I don't understand, because it's broken. Why would you want something that's broken? And she says, it's just about perspective. Not everything's broken that looks like it is. Because a lot of things are about to change for you and for the world. And then she started giving me a timeline of 2023 and how we were going to have experiences. And she told me things are going to happen in 2023 where people think it's some kind of UFO or some kind of crap, and it's going to be used to wake people up. And then, you know, she talked about, it was right before COVID hit, and she said something's about to hit, and it's coming for the whole world. And I remember just saying, okay, protect my community. I didn't realize at the time it was COVID. And then she gave me further timelines of 2027 and 2029 and just gave me that information that the time is coming where the vibrations need to be raised. People need to be like woken up and be made aware of what ET is really about, that not necessarily they're here to do battle or to do war. Because right now we're a warring nation, right? So if they were to actually show themselves to us, we would probably try to fight them. And I think like when we go back to the government thing, that's one of the things where if they cover it up, they can control that. Where that's my goal with regression work is, you know what, why not get a regression and get your own answers and see what actually happened with you so that you're not living in fear and want to fight back, because we're just conditioned to fight or flight.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's the that's why they are so standoffish. They don't want to approach us. I think they have in antiquity approached us. And, of course, we regarded them as angels or gods or whatever. And when actually they had that type of technology to where they could come here and deal with us, and they knew how we would regard them, so they had no fear. What could they do? What could we do? Throw stones at them? But today it's a little different. So they're a little leery on approaching us on a 1-to-1 basis. And do you feel that's why they put us under, so to speak?
I think so, and I think that's why they come in dreams. But I also like to think too that consciously, on a conscious level, we have raised our vibration. So they don't necessarily need to come down and make contact anymore. They can come through the dream state, or they can come and utilize the, you know, the life force energy to communicate and connect. And that's one of the reasons why they do it that way, is so there is no face to face, because we would fight back. There's many who would fight back. And they're not able to. I think the whole point is you have the certain ETs who are there to raise our vibration collectively so that one day we can become a part of the galactic community. And if we can raise enough people to that awareness, then one day they'll actually be able to come and make contact.
Last month I had Steve Aspen on the show. And he wrote a book entitled Out of Time. And he has been a lifelong abductee. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but here you are.
I think I saw that you had posted about him.
Okay.
Personally, I'm not familiar with him.
Okay. But he brought up this explanation that the skeptics have. Oh, that's just a sleep paralysis. And then goes into the different scenarios where it could not possibly have been sleep paralysis. The Hill case, for example, and many, many others. So how do you approach that? How do you deal with that explanation?
Well, with sleep paralysis, I mean, that is a real thing. But quite often, from my research, sleep paralysis a lot of times comes when you've been astral traveling. And your body, your energy, your soul hits right back into your body. And when you wake up at, that sudden moment, that's when the sleep paralysis happens. It's because you're entering back into your body. So maybe there is a connection there to an extent, not every single case, but it could be, something there. But I don't think the people who think they've been driving down the road and all of a sudden they've lost time and they're driving again has sleep paralysis.
Because
that's not a very good explanation.
I know. But that's what they like to use. That's what the skeptics like to use. And how are you able to distinguish between actual abductees and someone who might be delusional or just wishful thinkers?
Well, through regression work, you kind of can tell when the story's unfolding. Sometimes it's literally you can't make this stuff up. And you know that they're telling you the truth. Because they'll give you, in the regression, they'll give you minute details too. Very detailed information. I was sitting on my bed and my curtains are this color, where usually if somebody's making it up or they're unstable, then you can tell. It's a very fabricated story and they take it way too far. Another thing that I watch for through regression work to see how deep somebody's actually going is their breathing. Their breathing slows, it gets deeper. And the other one is their voice changes. Mm-hmm. So like one of my recent regressions, she regressed to when she was 3 years old. And you can hear her voice change. She sounded like a little girl, without a doubt. And then when I tapped into the subconscious, her voice changed, and actually a Palladian being came through, but you could hear the voice change with that. And so there's definitely ways you can tell when somebody is not being honest about what they're giving you, or when they're just off. And you can get a feel for somebody too. Everybody sounds a little bit crazy when they're talking about their experiences. I think that's why it's hard for people to share them, right? Because an everyday person who's close-minded to that kind of stuff or just doesn't want to see will tell you you're crazy and make you feel crazy. But there is a difference between people who are really far out there with their way of thinking and somebody who's grounded and says, I need help because I think I've had an experience, but I don't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned they tell you what color their draperies are and they're this, that, and the other. And I've heard someone say before, after they say, you know, I've had this experience and this color, that color, and hypnotist or whoever will say, do you typically dream in color? No. And they'll just leave it at that. Now you figure it out yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I need to take one moment just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking with a hypnotist, Mary Bassett. I was going to say experiencer. Am I correct in that, Mary?
Well, I've had experiences. I've just started to discover that maybe I've had more contact than I've realized. Because for me, like I said, I'm a channeler and psychic medium. So when I've had that contact, that's what I felt like I was doing, mm-hmm. was just channeling something. But the farther I get into my own journey and all of this, I'm realizing, wait a minute, a lot of the regressions I do, they didn't necessarily have that physical contact. So I would definitely say at this point, yes, I'm starting to see that I am an experiencer.
Okay.
Probably much more than I realized so far.
Okay. Now, as a medium, are you familiar with the medium Matt Fraser?
The name sounds familiar. Other than just the name being familiar, no.
Okay. He's quite a famous psychic medium. And I met him on a cruise once. And I was able to tell he is the real deal. And so at any rate, I was going to have him on my show and he had agreed. But then he says, you know, I wouldn't be a good fit for your show because I just don't believe in the abduction phenomena. I'm not really into UFOs and abductions or what have you. And what I was trying to get at with him was to let us know if he'd ever read someone who was who was claimed to be an abductee. And he said, no, he has not. So out of all the people that he's read around the world, I can't imagine that he had not. Maybe he just sloughed it off. I don't know. What is your opinion on that?
Well, typically, I can't say much. I did an event this last weekend. And I did meet a girl who it came through that she had experiences, but she also had seen the banner for the show, you know, Voices of Contact. So she wanted a reading to see if she'd had any experiences. I didn't know that at the time. I picked up on not necessarily that specific thing, but then she started telling me about the dreams that she had. So I guess as of this last weekend, technically I did read somebody who had experiences and we talked about it before that. No, not really. Typically when people are sitting down for a mediumship reading or a psychic reading, they're either looking, you know, for solutions to their issues at the moment or to speak to a deceased loved one or what's coming up in their future. So typically none of that has actually come up. And again, I guess now it's popping in my head. Last year at Paracon, I did do another reading for a girl, and I told her she had had contact, and she ended up exploring it, not with me, but with somebody else. And it did end up that she had had contact. So a little bit, but more often than not, it's more, I want to speak to a family member that's deceased.
Yeah. So probably the case is with Matt was that he's just never had that experience with one of the people he's read, right?
Well, it could very well be. And especially if that's not one of his focuses in general.
Right.
You know, that you, if you don't believe in something, a lot of times that won't come through to you because it doesn't match with your belief system. So you're going to pull in people vibrationally that match your belief system because that's who you're going to channel for the best.
Mm-hmm. He says he's like that little kid in Sixth Sense. I see dead people. When he was a kid, I see dead people.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, you know, tried to fight it for years, and then he decided, hey, go with the flow. And he's
that's all you can do, too. Otherwise, especially when, you know, you're seeing straight, you know, dead people, then eventually it will just drive you crazy until you acknowledge it.
So briefly, to get off the subject here of UFOs, do you, quote unquote, see dead people, hear dead people, or feel what? How do you experience it?
Well, I often see spirit quite a bit. So I know when, like, family members pass away, I will see them in my house right after it's happened, and they just kind of pass through to the afterlife.
Your own, family members?
Yes. So, like, when my uncle recently passed, I felt him the moment that he passed. We had a friend whose daughter passed away last year, and she kind of popped through the house. So quite often like that, I'll get those things. For me, it's more of a feeling and sensation, like, boom, they're right there behind me. And it's almost like I try to move them on and move them forward, because they're just, sometimes it's just they're passing through. I'm just more sensitive to the information. Mm-hmm. And I do hear spirit, mostly with myself. If it's really quiet, I'll hear spirit. I'm more clear cognizant. So when I'm doing my readings, it's all through my thoughts. It's like my crown chakra opens up and it starts to vibrate, and it gets really intense. And I start channeling information through that way. And I do my readings through automatic writing. So I get out of my own way, open up, and just start to write for the people I give the readings for.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So walk us through a typical hypnosis session with an abductee.
Well, the first part is with my initiation is I send them a pamphlet. So basically it's, okay, this is what a regression is. Be aware of that. If you think you might have had contact, but you're not sure, be ready that you might open a can of worms. That once you find your answers, you can't go back. So you really have to decide if, do you really want those answers, or do you want to just keep not knowing? First, you've got to make that choice. And then I kind of have like a life history questionnaire I have them fill out, get a little bit of information on them, you know, their thought process, any kind of illness that they have, anxiety, things like that. Then questions that they want to ask their, you know, their higher self or their subconscious when we tap into a little bit deeper. Because I always go through the experience itself that they want to explore. And then I take them a little bit deeper and tap into the subconscious part of the mind, because that's where you can get a lot of deeper answers, because it gets them more out of their way. And then I also have another form that they fill out first. That's just basic sighting questionnaires. Have you ever seen a UFO? Have you ever seen a shadow figure? Have any of your family members ever seen a UFO? Have you ever had sleep paralysis? That's one of the questions that are on that. Mm-hmm. I have them fill that out and send it back to me before the session. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like the first interview, because it gives me a better idea of what they're looking for and what their experience is, because I've done enough now. I almost know how it's going to go based on what their experiences were, what they're sharing with me. So when they do come and meet me, a typical regression session will last anywhere between like 3 to 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours, if they have a lot of information that they want to share. I like to spend at least an hour doing the interview and getting to know them, because I want them to be comfortable, you know, with me, because if they're not comfortable with me, they're not going to relax, and we're not going to get a good session, because if they can't relax, they're not going to be able to go under. Mm-hmm. And then we take about 2 hours for the regression itself.
Do you do these over the phone or Zoom conference or in person?
I prefer to do them in person. I will do them through Zoom. At first, I wouldn't. And then I did have somebody that was from Canada that really wanted to explore an experience. And so I agreed to do that one through Zoom and was actually surprised at how well it worked. Mm-hmm. I was shocked. And so I will agree to do it through Zoom. My requirements are that you have somebody that not necessarily is in the room with you, but in the house with you, and I have their phone number. So if something happens where that person is going through something traumatic and they need to be brought out of the trance-like state, I can call the other person and they can help me bring them out in a safe way that's not going to leave any side effects on them. Because really, when you're under, you know, you bring somebody back by giving suggestions, so they're not going to carry any of that regression with them. They can let it go. So it's really important I'm able to bring them up safely, so I have somebody else there. Typically, though, the best case scenario is to have somebody there with me, right in person, in my office.
Right. When you say somebody else, you're talking about someone they know, right?
Yes, that's correct. You know, a family member, a friend, and then I just want their phone number, so if necessary, I can call their phone.
Mm-hmm. So approximately what percentage of your subjects express dread as opposed to considering themselves willing participants in the abduction scenario?
So far, everybody's pretty much willing participants. They are nervous. You know, and I get that, because when I did my regression, I was nervous, only because...
As to the abduction, they find themselves, that they are abductees. Do they consider themselves willing participants in the abduction experience? Oh. Or...
You know, almost always, they... I would say 99% of them, it all comes out that they agreed to do this, that they signed up for a contract before they came here, and that's why it's happening. So, you know, a gentleman that I regressed, and, you know, it came out to be like some kind of cloning program where he was the father. And the higher self said, well, you agreed to do this. You signed up for this. Not just this lifetime, but many lifetimes. And so did your family members. You guys agreed to be a part of this program and this project to create hybrids. So almost every single time it comes up that there is an agreement, and it ends up not being something that was to be dreaded.
Now, I can see my listeners out there saying, what are you talking about? Agreed, agreement? When did they agree to this? Explain that.
Well, from the regression work, my take is like before they even come to Earth, you know, as their soul into, you know, the body that they have right now, mm-hmm. they agreed in a contract that this is what they were coming for. So you would call them almost star seeds, where they were created and they're already part ET and they're here fulfilling assignments to, you know, complete a mission on Earth, or to raise the vibration, or to help other people.
So there's no point in asking you if there is such a thing as reincarnation.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe that in reincarnation. I remember when I first started getting into spirituality, I got a past life reading. And I think this is what actually started opening up my mind more to, you know, the ET world too, because she said, she goes, She says, you were literally placed here. She says, you've been here since the beginning of time, and you weren't born here. You were placed here. And then she talked about the seeding of the planet and how we were created, and that some people were here since the very beginning of it because their purpose is to fulfill a mission of raising the vibration and helping everybody else. Mm.
So when someone says, you're an old soul, that really means you're an old soul, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That, you know, that's what it means, that yeah. You've been here over and over and over again.
Right. And have you ever had anyone, like I mentioned my sister, have you ever had anyone tell you that as a child, they thought that everyone experiences nighttime intrusions being floated up through walls and windows and into a waiting craft? As a child.
That I have not experienced yet, but I'm sure it's there. No different than somebody who is a medium or a psychic who didn't realize that not everybody sees people that aren't there. When I was younger, I didn't realize that wasn't a thing. And then I grew out of it when people would make me feel weird because I would chase butterflies that weren't there, or I would take off with my friend that was named Indian Joe. It, you know, as you get older, then you start to realize that, oh, wait, not everybody has that experience. So I haven't ran into it myself with any ET experiencers, hearing them personally say that, but I don't doubt that it's out there.
Well, like I say, my sister is one of them.
Yep.
So don't be surprised if you hear it again.
I'm sure I probably will eventually, I'm sure.
So... have any of your subjects ever claimed that they were taken to other worlds? And if so, describe them.
Well, actually, yeah. The last regression I did, she wanted to explore. She had a dream of a Palladian woman. And the Palladian woman said, listen, we'll take away your pain and we'll protect you, but you have to agree to work for us when we come for you. And she remembers saying, I didn't know exactly what I was agreeing to, but I agreed anyway because it sounded good. And so through the regression work, you know, they would come and take her astrally, and she would go to other planets, and they would use her vibration and her energy to kind of do battle with the negative energies. So definitely, and I've even done regressions on people where in a past life, she went back and she was like, you would call, not the ant being, but reptilian. And on this planet, they would always do battle with the ant beings. And she just kind of talked about her life on that planet in general and being that kind of being where they were connected but not connected. So I've had, those are the two most significant that pop out in my head at the moment.
When you say ant, ant beings, right?
Yes. Yep.
So there's ant beings and reptilians.
Yes.
Mm. Sounds like a nice planet.
I said it doesn't. It doesn't, because it seemed like they were always fighting each other. So.
Well, I guess so. I'd be fighting them too, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So did they describe what this world looked like, what this planet looked like?
Mostly it was just rocks and caves, and they would live inside the caves. And what I really thought was fascinating is, like, when they would do battle with the ant beings, they would use like tar like substance to fight them off, and then they would set the tar on fire. But the most curious thing to me was, like, when I took her to the last day of her life on that planet, she was laying in a cave, and she was older, so it was nothing that was a traumatic death for her. And I found it fascinating because all the other beings of her area were sitting around her, but they weren't comforting her. She's like, well, that's just what they do. As soon as I die, they'll come and they'll use my body for what they need. So that's just the way we live. We're never really connected, but we take care of each other in that way. But the way she described it is they lived in, like, the mountains and caves. It was just rocky terrain.
I see. Was she an ant being or a reptilian or what?
She was reptilian.
Okay. Okay, we seem to, abductees seem to give reptilians a bad name now. Do some of these people, some of these abductees say the reptilians are the bad guys or the good guys or what? Just guys.
You know, so far, you know, I've heard reptilians are bad, grays are bad. And, you know, one of my recent ones, she found herself on a craft, but it was all different types of species, reptilians, grays. So the way I feel, and from what I've, you know, gleaned from the regression work, is that just like humans, some are bad, some are good. You can't take away that personality, right? So I don't necessarily think all reptilians and grays are bad.
Right.
It's just maybe based on the area they're from.
Right. Right. I always say there are good, malevolent beings, malevolent people, benevolent people, and indifferent people. Why should it be any different anyplace else?
Huh? Yep, I agree.
I need to take one more break to let our listeners know that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell, and this is We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with a hypnotist and Mary Bassett, hypnotist and a medium, correct?
That's right.
And what has their abductors told them about space and time, and how does that figure into the equation?
Well, a lot of them, you know, talk about how time doesn't really exist, so it's hard for them to describe it really. Mm-hmm. In one of my last regressions, when I was speaking with the Palladian being, I was curious to know how old she was. And so she wanted to know if I meant in Earth years or their years. And I said, well, both. And she said, well, in Earth years, you get probably consider it, you know, 23. But in my years, my planet's years, she would consider it like 1,223. And when I asked her why, she described it as, she goes, well, your guys' trip around the sun is a lot faster than ours. So your time is a lot faster. And therefore, for us, time really doesn't exist, because the way we travel around the sun is a lot different. That's the closest I've gotten to it.
The way they travel around their star, is that right?
Yep. Yeah. It's a lot different than, it's a lot slower and different. Mm-hmm. So for them, time is less of an issue. And if I do remember correctly, in that regression, she talked about, it was some kind of, I don't know if you'd really call it a watch, but it was built into her skin. And when she looked at that, she goes, I can tell where I need to go. It's sort of like a map of the universe. And that's how we tell our time. For us, other than that, time doesn't really exist. That's just how we travel, is through that, to know where we're going.
And how did she travel? By a craft or a spirit or what?
Usually craft. From my take on what she was saying, it was more of a craft what she would travel with. But I have had regressions where they travel with spirit, and they're just light beings, and they travel as light.
Interesting. Very interesting. Has anyone been reluctant to divulge information about their encounters while under hypnosis?
Typically, no, because when they're under hypnosis, that kind of moves them out of the way. And it, when you take them into that deep trance state and you're tapping into the subconscious mind, they're there, but they're out of their own way. So they naturally divulge, because it takes away the fear. They're just experiencing it and observing versus going through the experience. That's why I always tell them too, just remember, you're an observer. You're just there to tell me what you're seeing. You don't have to experience it again. And so quite often they don't hold back, and they just talk about that experience because they're observing it.
The reason I asked this is I attended that meeting, at MUFON meeting, when you hypnotized this one individual, and you asked her this question, and She said she just couldn't tell you. She wasn't allowed to tell you.
Yep, and they will do that. Like, if someone with the subconscious, if the subconscious mind doesn't think that the person you're regressing is ready for that information, they won't tell you. And that's just because the subconscious mind will protect that person's conscious mind. So if they're not ready for that information, they'll say it can't tell you. And it could be too, quite often, you know, I haven't done a whole lot of lives in front of people. If the people aren't in the room, aren't ready for the information, they're not going to divulge that information either.
Ah, that could have been it, because there were quite a few people at that meeting. And keep some information close to the vest, right?
Well, yeah, it was like sort of like too when I asked her subconscious if it had any parting messages for the crowd, and it said no. I'm like, okay, fair enough. she it was so funny too, because she listened back to that. She's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. My subconscious is so rude. I'm like, it's okay. we'll be all right. Because typically that's what I'll do at the end of every session. I ask if there's a parting message for the person that I'm regressing. And there usually always is. So I figured I would just wing it and at least shoot for it. But I got shot down, so that's okay.
So she really didn't know that she reserved that any information, right? Any message?
She's like, I am so sorry. I'm like, you're okay. That's the way it goes sometimes.
That's funny. So what lessons have your subjects garnered as a result of their encounters?
Well, a lot of them have learned about the purpose that they have working with ET. What was the reason why they were being regressed? And, you know, that not all of it was bad. It was because they're supposed to be here serving a higher purpose, whether it's through mediumship, spiritual work, or just helping others, that not necessarily them being taken was negative. You know, it's sort of like when we were talking about that live regression, I had worked with her previously too, and she had been having thyroid issues. So she didn't realize that ET had healed her. They were talking about thyroid cancer. Then a couple of months later, after her experience, she had gone back to the doctor and she didn't even need her medicine anymore. They took away the thyroid cancer that came through that regression. They said, well, the nosebleeds were from us taking the thyroid cancer away. So some of it's just knowing that they're here to do work for ET.
And what did her doctors tell her after they said, hey, you had cancer, now you don't?
They had no reasonable explanation. They just said that the medicine must have worked. And then they took the dosage down.
They what?
They took the dosage back down because they had raised the dosage way up, but nothing was taking care of it. And then all of a sudden she went back for a recheck and she didn't need the medicine anymore.
And so the doctor said, aren't I a miracle worker?
Uh-huh. Yeah, probably. Took the claim for it. Yeah.
That'll be $10,000. Thank you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah, you know, going back to my sister, I mean, this is your interview, but on this subject, my sister, years ago, they diagnosed her as pregnant. She was pregnant. And she went, then she had this quote-unquote dream where someone took her baby and put it in a some sink, some tub of some kind. And then she went back to the doctor. He said, you're not pregnant. And he even called in another doctor to justify his diagnosis that she wasn't pregnant and showed him, hey, she was pregnant. But now she wasn't.
Wow.
She had she hadn't lost the baby. A miscarriage. She hadn't had a miscarriage. She didn't need a DNC, as would be typical in a miscarriage. What happened? They don't know. They just let it go. So And that's happened many times too. Would you agree?
Yeah, I've heard of a lot of cases where women have had dreams that, you know, they were pregnant and had babies. Then they ended up not pregnant at all. That is really not an uncommon thing.
Right, right. So have you discovered or do you believe that abductions are generational?
I do. I think so. Not the most recent one, but like I talked about the hybrid program, that regression, he spoke of like generations, his family and his grandfather. I did another recent one where his whole family have seen UFOs and had experiences. I definitely think it's generational. Especially it's more for me. I feel like it's a DNA thing. So they watch that bloodline as it develops through generations to make sure and to keep the bloodline exactly what they want in terms of the DNA that they want to use.
Okay. And have they discussed their past life experiences while under hypnosis? You probably covered this already.
Yeah, some of them. So I do regressions two different ways. Some people come in just for a past life regression. Some people for the experience themselves. So we explore the experience. And then sometimes people just want to see where they go first. And then we'll explore the experience. So quite often when we do that, they will go through a past life type thing. And then we move into the experience that they had. But yeah, just like when she went to the planet as a reptilian, that was a past life. She went that way instead.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the more nefarious things that are encounters that they've told you about under hypnosis?
Well, there was the one that when she was the young girl and she was taken and she'd always go and meet her friend in the woods and they'd go play hide and go seek and then go to the craft. But she didn't like the chair because the chair was scary looking and it had straps. And then when through that regression, she talked about being strapped down and then looking into her body with glasses and other times being taken and sticking like things that like almost look like hair into her eye and injecting like green dye. And we did figure out why they were injecting the green dye. They would inject that green dye to see if it made somebody sick. And if it made them sick, there was no good. And they weren't strong enough to go through the experiments that they wanted to go through with. But if they could handle the green dye, they'd continue taking them to do experiments on.
Ah, maybe that's what happened to me, because I recall the one abduction that I thought was a dream. And of course, my sister had several. And I had a guest on the show, a friend of mine up north has a show, TJ Ryan. He does a show called Out There. And he says, I'm the alien reject, because they haven't taken me, to my knowledge, again. So maybe this is my job, is to have this show and to write books and to tell people about this, you know?
That's right. It, whatever it takes to get the message out there.
That's what I think. So what, in your opinion, is the consensus anyway as to the ET's ultimate agenda?
Well, for me personally, I think, like I've said before, you know, you have the Galactic Federation, and the majority of ET really just wants us to raise our vibration consciously enough so that we can actually join that federation. Right now, we just want to destroy each other. And they're not going to let that happen to an extent, because if we destroy Earth, we're going to destroy other things in the universe. It's not going to be just us. So their goal is to continue help to raise our consciousness to a certain level so that we can finally join and hopefully not destroy each other.
Yeah, I know that they have messed with our atomic weapons in the past and taken them offline. And it kind of leads us to believe, leads me to believe anyway, that if they, in fact, there was one instance, at least one instance, where they fired off a missile that didn't have a warhead on it, but it was knocked, a UFO came in and pointed a light at it and knocked it out of the sky. And it leads me to believe that if we started lobbing these missiles, warheads at each other, that ET would intervene. What do you think?
I think so. I really do. They are not going to allow this planet to be destroyed again. It's sort of like, you know, they've done this. We've destroyed this planet over and over again and come back and restarted, just like the city of Atlantis. That's a real deal. You know, they taught city of Atlantis everything they knew, and they were a highly evolved species until they started cloning and creating animals and humans together and getting out of hand. So eventually they were going to destroy themselves. So they were destroyed before they were able to do so. And that's why you hear like a lot of spiritual mediums talk about Egypt. That's where it's at. That's where it all began. Well, that's because a lot of people from city of Atlantis went to Egypt and restarted, but they slowly over time forgot everything. So they're not going to let us start all over again. If they have to, they will intervene.
They're not going to let us start all over again.
No, nope, they will come and intervene before we try to destroy our planet.
Let's hope so. Let's just hope.
Yes.
You know? And then there's you mentioned Egypt. There's the hieroglyphics, or what looks like the what looked like the hieroglyphics on these craft. There, people that see craft or writings of ET, they say it looks like hieroglyphics. Now, what kind of writings, possibly Egypt, was visited by ET?
I believe so. I believe that, you know, like I just said, city of Atlantis went towards Egypt, and as you know, they started over and started developing, ET would come to visit to give them information on how to restart civilization and things to do. And that's where you have all those advanced technologies that seem to come out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Now, just how did the pyramids get there? There's a lot more to it than just a bunch of people who stacked them on top of each other.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Ancient Aliens. I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
It's good in a lot of respects. In fact, I've had Giorgio on my show quite a while back. But I think they're starting to reach a little bit for content. You know what I'm saying? As I look at it and say, wait a minute, what? That's a little off. But who am I to say, right?
Who are Well, you? That's true. It is a TV show, so they have to keep people watching, right?
Right. Well, this is a radio show as well, but I like to get my facts straight before I put it out there, you know?
That's right.
Speaking of putting it out there, where can our listeners go to check out your work?
Well, I don't have, they can check out my Facebook page. Just look up Mary Bassett. I keep it public, so I should be easy to find. And if they ever want to get a hold of me for regression work, they can reach me through the MUFON page of Michigan MUFON, or they can just email me directly at millergirls@hotmail.com. And so that's millergirls@hotmail.com. So millergirls without the I.
So you've mentioned that you felt that you have been abducted in the past. And can you elaborate on that?
Well, a lot of them were just, you know, the experiences and the channeling of ET, especially when they gave me the timeline of what Earth has to watch out for. So the first thing she showed me was COVID hitting. And then after we go through that experience, She talked about 2023 being a big year for experiencers, where more people are going to be having contact and UFO sightings. And then farther down the line, we are going to run into another time where we go through another like string of COVID, just in a different way, but it's going to be more intense. And then 2027, we are going to see volcanoes and eruptions and earthquakes to a bigger level than we've ever experienced before. And 2029 is where we really need to worry about Earth. We really need to be concerned about what's going to happen if we are not able to make changes and change the way we're doing things and raise the vibration, because that's when we stand a chance of being detrimental to our own selves.
Mm-hmm. So 27 and 29 are really what to look for. Look out.
Those are going to be big years. Yeah.
Yeah. We talking more pandemics or?
I think there's going to be some more pandemics, but before 2027.
Before 2027.
Yeah.
We already have these earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes that just tore through the South. And, you know, we've always had that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe to the extent that that we have, you know.
It's definitely increasing.
Yes. And climate change. I think there are more and more believers that were skeptics as to climate change. And they're saying, oh, really? I think it's true. I think it's true. What do you think?
I do. I think it's slowly, whether it's climate change or just evolution, you know, that's the way Mother Earth's always worked. It's always shifted and changed, and she's going to continue to do so. And we might just escalate how quickly she does it based on our habits and the way we treat her.
You're talking about Mother Earth.
Yes.
Okay. I wonder what you meant, right? Mother.
Yes, Mother Earth.
Mother Earth, yeah. And she's saying, you know, I said in one of my books that we are the parasite that is destroying, you know, the planet. And, the body has a way of dealing with parasites and simply getting rid of them. And I got a feeling that it's trying to get, Mother Earth is trying to get rid of that parasite that's destroying her. What do you think?
I agree. And I think that was a part of, you know, COVID. We're getting ready to go to the vibrational rate of 5D. So in order to do that, there's going to be some people who can't handle that kind of vibration. So COVID was a way to give people an out if they don't want to go to the 5D, the fifth dimension. Mm-hmm. So the people who naturally can't handle that vibration fall away. It's kind of a weeding out, so to speak, for some.
So it's Mystical Awakenings Podcast. Is that it? Mysticalawakenings.com?
Oh, yep. You can find the Voices of Contact there. Because that is Devin R.J. DeRusse's mm-hmm. page. And if you go to voicesofcontact.com, you can reach us there for the show, or just if you want to reach out to, you know, and share your contact experiences with someone.
Very good. Mary Bassett, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hope we can do this again sometime.
I hope so. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archived shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m., when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.